What happened to the dragons of Middle-earth? We obviously know about Smaug, but he wasn't the only one. What happened to the rest? Did they survive the Third Age? Let's take a look. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we dive deep into The Lord of the Rings and Tolkien's wider legendarium, as well as A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. Welcome. I've looked in previous videos at some of the most powerful dragons Middle-earth has ever known, Glaurung, Ancalagon and Smaug, and at the origin of dragons as a whole, for they are one of Morgoth's creations. No, they weren't created out of nothing, but they were created and refined by Morgoth in his dark laboratories. Glaurung was the first, and introduced himself to the world before Morgoth ideally wanted him to, but by the time of the fall of Gondolin there were many more. We read of dragons of the brood of Glaurung, and they were become now many and terrible. Years later, in the War of Roth, there were even more, and of an upgraded type. Morgoth loosed upon his foes the last desperate assault that he had prepared, and out of the pits of Angband there issued the winged dragons that had not before been seen, and so sudden and ruinous was the onset of that dreadful fleet that the host of the Valar was driven back, for the coming of the dragons was with great thunder and lightning and a tempest of fire. It must have been a terrible moment, but it was short-lived, for the host of the Valar were there, and they prevailed. It was actually Earendil who slew Ancalagon the Black, but well-nigh all the dragons were destroyed. Well-nigh obviously means nearly all, so some survived. An early draft has the number as low as 2, though it may have been a bit more than that. So dragons were nearly made extinct at the end of the First Age, and whatever was left of them found a new home somewhere far away to hide and recuperate. It wasn't just the dragons who did that, remember. Sauron did too, and some orcs and at least one Balrog. Dragons are not invincible, so steering clear of the mighty who lingered into the Second Age is only sensible. The new home they found for themselves was the Northern Waste, that icy cold land north of the Grey Mountains, and perhaps a bit later, the Withered Heath, which is a long, thin valley between the two ranges of the Grey Mountains. Gandalf actually makes a throwaway remark about this in The Hobbit, saying, "I know where Mirkwood is, and the Withered Heath where the great dragons bred." So the dragons bred there, and they were still considered great dragons. It was probably not somewhere you would wish to visit. But slowly the free peoples started to populate neighbouring areas and the dragons multiplied. And you know what dragons are like when they start to smell gold. The dwarves probably experienced it the worst, probably because they had a lot of gold. We read this about Thorin the First, who is the great-great-great-great-grandfather of the Thorin we know, if I've got my number of greats right. Thorin the First removed and went into the far north to the Grey Mountains, where most of Durin's folk were now gathering, for those mountains were rich and little explored. But there were dragons in the wastes beyond, and after many years they became strong again and multiplied, and they made war on the dwarves and plundered their works. At last, Dain the First, together with Thror, his second son, was slain at the doors of his hall by a great Coldrake. Not long after, most of Durin's folk abandoned the Grey Mountains. So the dragons made war on the dwarves, and eventually drove them out of the Grey Mountains. Presumably it is around this time that dragons consumed 4 of the 7 rings of power the dwarf lords had, as we're told that they did. It wasn't just the dwarves who came into contact with the dragons, though. In 1954, while putting the finishing touches to The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien wrote a poem called Scather the Worm. Here's an extract with a description of Scather, comparing him to other dragons. "Some have great wings like the wind, some have fire and fierce wrath, some have venom on their long teeth, some have hides like armour, tails like steel, tongues like spears, eyes piercing bright, some are great and golden, some are green, some are red as glowing iron. Not so was Scather. He crawled like a slow creeping death, too horrible to flee from, froze men with fear and his icy breath, and then crushed them, ground them under his long white belly." The poem goes on to describe how Scatha was killed by Fram of the Eothiod, a predecessor people of the Rohirrim, after which there was a bit of a dispute between the Eothiod and the dwarves about who should have Scatha's treasure, most of which he had taken from the dwarves, of course. It all ties into the main Lord of the Rings story because the Horn of the Mark was part of that treasure. A part of the Eothiod seemingly managed to keep hold of that, and it was passed down as an heirloom. Eowyn gives it to Merry towards the end of the story as a mark of his service to Rohan. Merry takes it back to the Shire with him, and that's the horn he uses to rouse the good Shire folk to fight against the ruffians in the scouring of the Shire. As is so often the case, there are layers here to this story that most readers simply wouldn't pick up on. But it's worth lingering on that description we had a moment ago of Scatha. He was blind and silent, had icy breath, not fiery breath, and crawled rather than flew. It's a reminder that not all of Tolkien's dragons were like Smaug. Indeed, Scatha sounds a lot more like Glaurung. Scatha is described as a longworm, which is perhaps a subspecies of dragons for Tolkien, though he didn't make it clear. We also hear of fire drakes and cold drakes. You may have noticed that it was a cold drake that finally pushed the dwarves out of the Grey Mountains. Tolkien doesn't give us a full breakdown, but it's clear that there was a lot of variety. One thing we do know is that after Scatha's death, the land had peace from the longworms, so perhaps he was the last of them. It's possible, though not certain, that during the height of Sauron's power in the Second Age, some or all of the dragons were under Sauron's control. There are a couple of hints that that may be the case, but it's not clear. But then we get Smaug, of course, who definitely wasn't under Sauron's control, though they were kindred spirits of an odd kind. You don't need me to tell you about his fate, but he came from the north and was very much a fire drake. He was also the greatest of the dragons of his day, with the hottest of flames. We know four rings of power were destroyed by dragons, but the One Ring could not apparently have been, because Gandalf says this to Frodo early on. It has been said that dragon fire could melt and consume the rings of power, but there is not now any dragon left on earth in which the old fire is hot enough, nor was there ever any dragon, not even Ancalagon the Black, who could have harmed the One Ring. Notice the language there. Gandalf doesn't say that there are no dragons left, but that there are no dragons left with hot enough fire. So Smaug wasn't the last dragon. Dragons were still alive and well during the time of the Lord of the Rings, presumably chilling out up on the withered heath. So what happened to them? There is no mention in the appendices to the Lord of the Rings or the Silmarillion, but thankfully Tolkien does address this in a letter to Naomi Mitchison, a proofreader for him. She had seemingly asked about dragons, given the importance of Smaug in The Hobbit, and whether they still existed. Tolkien replied, "Dragons. They had not stopped since they were active in far later times, close to our own. Have I said anything to suggest the final ending of dragons? If so, it should be altered. The only passage I can think of is Volume 1, page 70. There is not now any dragon left on earth in which the old fire is hot enough. But that implies, I think, that there are still dragons, if not of full primeval stature." The context here, of course, is that Tolkien was of the view that Middle-earth is our earth, albeit in a different stage of imagination. So the tales of dragons that we have, feel free to imagine your own favourite ancient dragon story, are part of that same tradition that Tolkien's dragons are a part of. So to Tolkien, there are dragons still alive now, albeit of an entirely different scale, physicality and ferocity. Remember, Tolkien's dragons weren't all of the winged kind, didn't all breathe fire, and so on. There are plenty of modern-day dragons. We often talk about how the Fourth Age of Middle-earth is the dominion of man, and the magical or legendary or fantastical had faded. The orcs were killed or fled underground, the elves travelled west or faded, the dwarves dug deeper, and so on. But the dragons, Tolkien would have us know, they survived and leaked into our own legends. Changed and diminished, perhaps, compared to the fearsome creatures they were in antiquity, but still dragons. Perhaps that's why they have such a place in so many different cultures' mythologies in so many different ways, because they lingered as relics of a different age, just on the edges of civilization, up there on the withered heath, ever lurking at the back of our minds and imaginations. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support the channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.